Touchdown, Titans!
Let's go!
He got it! Nifty move! Intercepted by Babineau. Witherspoon was in for it. My goodness, what a big play!
I'm Mike Keith, welcoming you to Titans All Access. This week, we catch up with former Titans wide receiver Drew Bennett, who was in town last weekend to serve as the 12th Titan. Jason McCourty puts on a show in this week's Wired for Sound. Offensive lineman Fernando Velasco isn't the world's most famous guy named Fernando Velasco. Find out about his namesake in this week's One-on-One. And general manager Rustin Webster stops by to preview the Titans' trip to Indianapolis. The Titans' offensive line is beaten up. Right tackle David Stewart is out for the year with a broken leg. Left guard Steve Hutchinson has a knee problem. Michael Ruse is hurting. How will the offensive line look at Indianapolis? Let's check in with Titans head coach Mike Munchak.
David Stewart is out for the year with a broken leg, so your right tackle is Mike Otto. Mike Otto went against these guys as the starter 6 weeks ago. How much does it help that he's already played against the Colts?
I think it helps him. He's flipping sides, obviously. He played left tackle for us in that game, and he did a nice job, his first action of the year. So now that he knows he's going to finish up the next four games, it helps. I mean, it's a different game when you play Indy at Indy because of the crowd noise, the dome, fast track. So it's going to be a little different challenge for him. And last time Mathis didn't play, and so he'll get a chance to see him a little bit. So a great challenge for him, but this is the game you're glad you have him. If you lose one of your best tackles, good to have one like Mike in the wings.
Left guard Steve Hutchinson, knee surgery on Thursday. Who will take his place at the left guard spot?
We're working on that now. Obviously, it'll be Kevin Matthews and Fernando, one or the other. Now that we know this will be more long-term or at the end of the season, we may think about deciding on Kevin and moving Fernando to guard possibly. So we'll let the practice play out the next couple of days, and ultimately it's all about getting those five where they're most comfortable to finish the season. And so we'll do that. But, it makes for an interesting week and interesting finish to the season.
Most important thing to get your run game restarted at Indianapolis on Sunday?
I think it's just for us. It's not necessarily – we ran the ball pretty well on them last time. I think CJ had right about 100, almost 5 yards a carry, and had some nice play, especially in the fourth quarter. I thought we ran the ball well. So we have to be able to do that to help the quarterback situation, help us stay on the field. And a big thing we didn't do last time, as we all know, is we had some nice long drives. We didn't finish them. We settled for field goals way too often. We had a chance to put that game away late in the fourth quarter when we settled for a field goal and a 7-point lead instead of 11-point lead. And that's what we have to clean up. And the run game, the play action, keeping the quarterback upright is going to be a huge challenge. And it'll be fun to see how it works out.
That's head coach Mike Munchak, and that's this week's Pinnacle Preview.
A bad day for the team, but a good performance for number 30. Jason McCourty is a bright spot against the Texans. His Wired for Sound is up next on Titans All Access. The Titans did not play well against Houston last Sunday, but there were good performances in the loss. One of those came from cornerback Jason McCourty. The young captain was on the field for all 73 snaps, had 5 tackles, 1 for lost yardage, and broke up a pass. We take you inside McCourty's effort in this week's Wired for Sound.
Oh, that's nice. Let's go, Cookie. Cam.
Hey, we talk about every week how blessed we are to be out here. And what happened in Kansas City doesn't make us realize how blessed it is to come out here on Sundays and play. I don't know what the hell's wrong with us. We got to enjoy this. Have fun. We all practice together, work hard together all week to come out here and perform on Sunday. Yep. Somebody set the tempo today. Whether it's a hit on kickoff, a hit on defense, somebody set the tempo. Yep. Like Gray said, play with an attitude. We're not losing today. Everybody has to believe that. Let's go. DB's on 3. 1, 2, 3.
I love you, Dad.
Let's go, boys! home, bro. Let's get it. Walk, walk. Hey, watch two man. Keem, Keem, watch two man. I get that ball. One square! You good?
Great job, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Drew, one of your favorite Titans, brings us up to speed on what he's doing now at the age of 34. Drew Bennett back at LP Field, coming up on Titans All Access. Welcome back to Titans All Access. Drew Bennett was an unknown former UCLA quarterback when the Titans signed him as an undrafted free agent in 2001. They hoped that he could become a wide receiver. He didn't just become a wideout. Bennett became a starter and a fan favorite in his 6 years in Nashville. Last weekend, Drew Bennett returned to LP Field to be the 12th Titan. Before his game day duties, we had a chance to walk down memory lane with number 83. To bring everybody up to speed, what are you doing right now?
I mean, at this moment?
No, I mean, what are you doing back? I guess you're back in California.
Back in California. I finished coaching high school football at my alma mater, actually. You know, the mighty Miramonte Matadors. We went 9-2, lost our second round of the playoffs, so guys did all right. Got a little business venture with a guy actually out here in the used car business, you know, doing some loan purchasing and stuff like that, and just staying busy, you know. Got married a couple years ago, have a four-month-old daughter, and things are good, man. Things are really good. It's strange being back here. It's the first time I've been back in the stadium since I played here.
Can you believe the Jumbotrons and everything with the ribbon boards? And it's $27 million will perk you up here, won't it?
That's $27 million. Wow, it's worth it, man. These things are amazing. Both these things are very impressive.
Do you remember the first time you came out that tunnel?
I do. You know, and the weird thing is, it happened every time I came out of the tunnel, but for the first time when I walked out, I always had the weirdest did I remember pants. That was when I came out of the tunnel. Like, when I came out of the big inflatable helmet.
Did you remember to put your pants on?
I'd walk out, and the first thing I would think was, I'd do, like, oh, my God, okay, I got pants on. Like,
that's good.
That's I always got nervous about that. I don't know why. But, yeah, I remember the first time coming out, even in the first preseason game, having my family and friends out here because they didn't know if I was going to play more than one preseason game. And it's some great memories here.
Yeah, I mean, you were the unlikely of unlikelies. I mean, you're 34 now. And you sit and think about that back to 2001.
21 years old.
Yeah, and you were a quarterback at UCLA, and you end up with the Titans. And I remember, you know, Heimerdinger said, we got this receiver we like, and he's never really been a receiver, but here we go.
It worked out so well. He was a big part of it. You know, Heimerdinger spent a lot of hours yelling at me and a lot of hours correcting my mistakes. And I learned over the first few years that meant that he actually liked me and that meant that he saw some potential in me and stuff like that. And I got to give him a lot of credit. And Steve Walters, the receivers coach that I started with here, those guys were really instrumental in kind of like, you know, building me towards the future. But it was, you know, first week on the team, I was like, I can't believe I'm on an NFL roster. This is amazing. And the ride that followed after that was incredible.
First catch, Tampa Bay. You caught a pass in that overtime.
I hit Trout.
You had a tackle before you had a catch, because didn't you make a tackle on an interception?
I made a tackle on a kickoff.
Okay.
I was on kickoff. In fact, I got filled in because the guy got hurt. I've never made a tackle in my life playing quarterback. And Fisher looked at me and said, I need you at L4, which is right in the middle. And I'm like, what do I do? He's like, just run down there and make the tackle. Sure enough, I get open field, and this guy's coming right at me. Anyone else that knew what they were doing would have blasted this guy because he didn't see him. And I just kind of jumped on his back and dragged him down. And Fisher, I walked off the field. He said, nice tackle.
Something. Like, yeah,
nice. Way to get him down.
my favorite Steve McNair moment is actually my favorite Drew Bennett moment, too.
Is that right?
Houston, 2003.
Oh, it was a great game.
Fourth and 10. You guys had led all the way. Steve's hurt. Shouldn't have been playing.
Surprise.
Shouldn't have been playing. And the Titans let it get away. You've blown a game. At fourth and 10, the touchdown. What do you remember about that?
I remember him calling that play, and for the other 35 times we ran it that year, he's never thrown that backside post. But when I left the huddle, he looked at me like, hey, be ready back there. Sure enough, I turned around, that ball was in the air, he threw a perfect pass, and that was an exciting moment. That was definitely one of my career highlights, so it was fun to run over to the sideline and enjoy it with him.
So much, you know, last week Andre Johnson's in here, and he's coming off two games where he had 23 catches for 460 yards. You had a two-game stretch like that in 2004 in December, Kansas City and Oakland. You had 25 catches for nearly 400 yards. I mean, some real highlights, big numbers that a guy who went undrafted would never expect.
I loved it, man. I was actually here on a Monday night game. Was the first one, Kansas City, and that was, you know, another career highlight. We lost that game, unfortunately, but it was Christmas Day, Monday Night Football. There was snow coming down. You know, Billy Volek and I had a ton of connections in that game. We were just in the zone, and it was a really fun, especially do it at home. You know, I had a bunch of friends and family here for that game, too, so it was a good memory.
Yeah, think about that year. 80 catches, over 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns. You finish up with over 300 career catches, 8 years in the league. Awfully special.
Yeah. You know, if you had told me my rookie year that I would have come anywhere close to that, I really wouldn't have believed you. I mean, there were first year, first few weeks, first, you know, couple years, it was like, I just need to hang on for one more week. If I can just make a roster, if I can just, you know, be the third receiver here and have him be happy with that, you know, I'll be so fortunate. And it just kept building and building. And, man, I thank my lucky stars and realize how fortunate I am. I still look back and just am amazed at how fun it was.
And so, I mean, you think about this place. I mean, this was your place, and you're part of the fabric and still a fan favorite from as this franchise got started in this part of the country. I mean, what an experience.
It was amazing. You know, and the beauty was that because my name's Drew and the fans all cheered Drew, even when I messed up, it didn't matter because even if people were booing, it sounded like, you know, my parents came out the first time they heard the Drews. My mom was like, oh, my God, they hate him. What did he do already? I'm like, Mom, you know, relax. Or my brother was there. He's like, Mom, it's Drew. Relax. He's doing just fine. So, yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's weird being back out here, especially on the field. And it's very nostalgic, man. This is awesome. Well, a lot of good memories here.
A lot of good days, too. I mean, a lot of big wins. And a lot of fun. And
playoff wins, yeah. We had
playoff wins. The Pittsburgh game, you had 7 catches in that playoff game,
fun.
I remember.
Absolutely. That was another good memory, man. There's a lot of fun things that went on here.
It's good to see you.
Hey, Mike,
thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having
me. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
When Titans All Access returns, we go one-on-one with maybe the nicest guy on the whole roster. Until Sunday, that is. Offensive lineman Fernando Velasco sits down with us next.
Pull up a chair and go one-on-one. Sponsored by Farm Bureau Insurance, where Tennessee turns to us.
We're joined by Titans center Fernando Velasco. And when I prepare to do these interviews, I use a Google search and just to find, you know, some background, whatever. Well, when I did the Google search on Fernando Velasco, you weren't the guy who came up. It was Juan Fernando Velasco.
The singer, right?
The singer from Ecuador.
Yeah,
Are you familiar with him?
Oh, I heard him, but not too familiar. I got to go on iTunes and buy his music or something.
Do you ever get calls, people looking for Juan Fernando Velasco?
No, it haven't happened yet.
But that's got to be pretty. You would think you would be, you play in the NFL, you played at Georgia. You would think you would be the most famous Fernando Velasco, but maybe not.
Hey, not at all. That's cool with me. It's cool with me. I need to update my music and get on some of him.
All right. Life of an offensive lineman, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me ask you about growing up in Renz, Georgia. Population 2,200. Almost in South Carolina. What was it like?
That's all I knew. You know what I mean? So me growing up there, I really didn't realize how small it was until I left. You know, growing up, most of my childhood, we only had one red light in the town. And by the time I got in high school, we got two more, so we had three. And I remember my senior year in high school, we got a McDonald's, and that was the biggest thing since sliced bread. I mean, but, you know, just a real country boy, and I mean, real humble beginnings. And I mean, I definitely wouldn't trade it for the world. It made me the man who I am today.
What is the most important thing you think you took from growing up in a small town like that?
Just staying humble, you know, never forget where you come from. I mean, you know, it's very poverty struck. You know, a lot of people grew up without much. So, you know, for me to the Lord has blessed me the way I am now. You know, I still go back home, you know, on the bye week. I went back home for the whole week. And, you know, the thing I like now about going back home, I'm just Nando. You know, that's what everybody calls back home, Nando. I'm the snotty-nosed, barefoot little kid that used to run around. It's no, you know, a lot of, maybe the little kids, you know, now they look up to me. But for the most part, I'm just the same old guy that I was when I left.
Do you think it's that mindset that helped you when you weren't drafted coming out of Georgia and you had to make the team as a practice squad guy?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, everybody there works hard. You know, that's all people know, work hard in the mills and in the factories. So, you know, growing up, you know, I see my granddaddy go to work every day and work hard, you know, up until he was 80 plus years old, he still worked every day. So that mindset, that work ethic from the people back home, you know, that's all I know. So even, you know, when I went to college and got redshirted in college, that just that, you know, you always got to work. Don't ever be satisfied with what you have, because, you know, it can be taken from you any minute. So just keep that humble mindset and just keep grinding.
And now you're a starting center in the National Football League. After all of the hard work coming from the small town, 5 years at Georgia, practice squad, can you fully take it all in?
No, not really. Not really. And I mean, I don't really... You know, I'm still just doing the things I always done. You know, I mean, even when I wasn't starting, I prepared like I was a starter. So I knew this day would come. So I really don't really try to think about it. I just go out there and just play ball and try to have fun. I don't, you know, think of myself as being, you know, this. I'm still Nando. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing changed.
We're really happy for you. You've done a great job. Congratulations. Fernando Velasco with us in our one-on-one segment. LP Keys to the Game up next on Titans All Access. It's time for this week's Titans Rewind, brought to you by Ford.
November 27th, 2008. The Titans play on Thanksgiving Day for the first time in 11 years, and they feast on the winless Lions. Tennessee explodes out of the gate to grab a quick lead as everyone gets into the act. That includes defensive end Dave Ball.
They come late with Bullock. It's a screen in the middle. Intercepted Dave Ball. 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Titans!
The Titans head home from the Motor City with a drumstick for everyone as they chew up the Lions 47-10.
That's this week's Titans Rewind, brought to you by Ford. Drive one. It's time now for the LP Keys to the Game. I'm joined by Titans general manager Rustin Webster. When Indianapolis was in Nashville on October 30th, they entered the game 3-3, and they were a feel-good story. Today, the Colts are still a feel-good story, but they're 8-4, and they're on the verge of a playoff berth. So, where have the Colts improved the most since you saw them back, 6 weeks ago?
I really think they've just continued to make timely plays. They've gotten a little better on defense, but this is a team that's making plays when they have to.
Some statistics about them don't make any sense, though. They're minus 16 in turnover ratio, and yet they're 8-4. How are they overcoming so many turnovers?
Well, they've made a lot of big plays late in the game to win. And when the game is on the line and they've had to come back in the fourth quarter, they've been able to do it consistently, whether it's getting defensive stops or scoring touchdowns.
When you watch Andrew Luck play quarterback, you say, man, the guy's incredible. But his statistics are not overwhelming. 17 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, passer rating in the 70s. Seems like, Rustin, that he's playing better than his numbers would indicate.
Well, I think there's no doubt his ability to extend plays has helped that team. He keeps many plays alive. He's great at stepping up at the pocket and keeping plays alive with his legs. He's strong, and when you have him sacked, you don't have him sacked. So he's been able to extend and make plays very much like Ben Roethlisberger does for the Steelers, and it's been great the fourth quarter.
I rewatched your keys last week, and you were dead on. You said the Titans have to take care of the football in order to have a chance to win. So
I want to see if you're dead on again this week. What do the Titans have to do to go to Indianapolis and win?
Well, we're going to have to do a good job on defense of staying in our rush lanes, not allowing the quarterback to step up and extend plays like I was talking about earlier. And then we do have to win the turnover battle. I mean, it's paramount that we don't give them short fields and allow them to have easy scores. We have to take care of the ball and then defensively do a great job against a fine quarterback in an offense that's really come together.
Reston, we'll see you at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Looking forward to it.
Next week on Titans All Access, we talk with a Titan who could probably talk for the whole show, defensive tackle Cindric Marks. We have a Titan wired for sound at Indianapolis, and we prepare for Monday Night Football as the New York Jets come calling at LP Field. All that and more next week on Titans All Access. For Rustin Webster, I'm Mike Keith. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week.